It's a very old question.
This Passover question.
How will you serve freedom? Will you use your powers to heal or to harm, to help or to hinder, to bless or to curse? These are old questions that go to the heart of what it means to be human. Now, if you fall on the wrong side of these questions, like Pharaoh did in the biblical story of Passover, plagues of blood, frogs, gnats, lice, vermin, wild beasts, boils, and even worse, if you can imagine worse, will rain down on you. All this, of course, is figurative. But the story does dramatize the inherent worth and dignity of every person, the sanctity of life held in the balance of our own free will. Our own free will to love or to fear, to oppress or to be just. There's one more thing. Not every kind of slavery is one people oppressing another. There are many ways you can oppress yourself and thus rob yourself of your own freedom. The last and worst plague in the Passover story is the death of the eldest child of each family. The story goes that when that fearful time came, the Jews marked their homes and prayed they would be spared. So the angel of death passed over them and their children, and they lived, soon to be led out of Egypt to freedom. For me, the most poignant words in the Passover Seder are these: we grieve for the sufferings of our brothers and sisters, the Egyptians. However, that desire to ask for special favor, to be spared the trials of others, is so ancient and so powerful. One of the oldest prayers has got to be, "Dear God, can the bad stuff please happen to somebody else?" When I was a little boy, monsters lived in the house. Late at night, lying in bed, I hear a noise, pull the covers over my head, and pray to myself, "Dear God, let the monster get anyone but me." Now, years later, sometimes I can still feel that way. I don't want to know. I still just want to pull the covers up over my head and say, "There's nobody here. The room you're looking for is two doors down on the left. It's not me." I know that feeling of wanting it to happen to somebody else. It's pretty powerful. To be passed over. To be the chosen people of God, or the ones who are saved by God's Son, or to be the final seal of the one true religion, or to be the ones who are Jehovah's true witnesses, or to be the one religion that is so tolerant, we just know we are one up on everybody else. We just know that. The desire to be set apart, to be special, to be spared the sorrows and hardships of the rest of the world is universal, but it's also foolish. Any look at history, any look at our own lives will show us that we are not passed over. None of us are passed over. I slurred that. None of us are passed over. Buddhists tell a story about this truth. There was a grieving mother whose young baby had died. Overcome with anger and sorrow, she went to the Buddha and said, "If you are so powerful and wise, bring my baby back." And the Buddha said to her, "I will do that if you bring me something from a household that has suffered no pain." Well, of course, she searched for many years, and all the households had been visited by pain. None were passed over. But I was telling the story of Passover, And I haven't come to the best part. The rest of the story goes like this. The Jews were set free. They left behind their old lives and their old ways. They sit out in the dark, taking only their determination to be free. They encountered many hardships and wandered for 40 years in the desert. Their lives were changed forever, changed because they had chosen to go. They chose to leave. Part of the story tells of waiting in hope and fear for divine favor or blind luck, depending on your theology. And part tells of a decision to act, a choice made by free will. One is passive, the other is active. Herein lies our own story. What does it mean to be human? What does it mean when we cannot choose what happens to us, but we can choose how we deal with it? One of the tasks of religious faith is to reinterpret the stories in the light of our own lives. Begin by thinking of the ways that you are enslaved. There are too many dramas of fear and freedom being played out all over this planet. Which one of these international tragedies will next spill over onto our own shores? And then there's been the last 5 years that we Americans have endured: COVID-19, scary politics, insurrection at the Capitol, and now Ukraine. It's kind of enough stress, isn't it? I hope they don't pile something else on. There are people who are afraid for their lives and for the safety of their children waiting at our southern border. Mass shootings continue. White supremacy is fighting back, as an alarmingly number of states have recently passed a Jim Crow voter suppression bill into law, the majority of our states. There are women nearby who have lived in the terror of violence at the hands of their partners, who have had to take their children and flee in the middle of the night to a shelter without waiting for the bread to rise. Today, we don't have plagues of frogs, gnats, and boils, but there are the plagues of plenty to go around. COVID-19, other diseases, hunger, poverty, war. And their worst companions of apathy, despair, and hopelessness. In the face of all this, we can give up and dive under the covers, wishing, hoping, praying to be passed over. Or we can rise up, throw off the covers, and meet the challenge. There is so much work to be done in this world, much to be given and much to be received. And there is much work to be done in our hearts as well. Not every kind of slavery is one people oppressing another. Sometimes we live under our own oppression. If you want to be free, think of how you are enslaved. Are you enslaved to a way of life or a way of being that has outgrown its usefulness? Are you enslaved to someone else's idea of what you should be and how you should live? Are you enslaved to wanting more and never being satisfied with what you do have? Do you crave more things, more respect or status, higher grades for your children, a perfect house, a better lawn, and everything just the way everybody says it should be? Are you enslaved to old ways of acting and reacting that kills any chance of change or transformation in your life? Does doubt or fear hold you captive? If you could, wouldn't you leave in the middle of the night and choose freedom over slavery? If you understood what slavery is or could be for you, it is easier to decide how to escape from it. For me, one form of slavery is that which hampers my soul and makes me afraid. That which tempts me into complacency and cowardice and tries to stop me from choosing the braver, fuller path. That fear is crazy because I know what I want and I know what I believe. Like the rest of you, I am human. We have to face our limitations in humility and wisdom, even while we shoulder the strength to go on and choose to live the way we want to. We cannot heal the pain of the whole world. Sometimes we cannot even see the pain of those closest to us. We cannot do it all, we cannot be it all, but in the midst of it all, we have the freedom to choose, to act rightly, with integrity and with courage, no matter what the situation. I'm thinking about Passover, but mostly I'm thinking about all of you. I'm thinking about some of your stories of hope and despair. Holocaust survivor Henry Nguyen wrote, "Hope means to keep humming in the dark. Hope also means to choose how you will live your life. Hope means to bring out the festal bread, to break the bread of memory of what was lost and suffered, and to recommit ourselves that it never happened again. Hope means to raise up our voices together and to sing our songs of freedom, especially in this Unitarian Universalist church and society. Songs that inspire us to use our powers to heal and not to harm, to help and not to hinder, to bless and not to curse, to serve you, Spirit of Freedom. Happy Passover, everyone." Our benediction is from Lisa Friedman, and she worked in the same church as Eller Isaacs Robbie. Up in Minnesota, where it's even colder than here. We touch the floor to remember that whatever we bring, our best self, is holy ground. We reach for the sky to remember that we are a part of a mystery much bigger than ourselves. We hold hands to remember that we need one another and are a part of one human family. We join voices to remember that we each have a gift to offer the world and to use in making the world a better place.